Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another action-packed edition of Sports Entertainment, actually, Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, you?
Good. Just watching some football, watch some baseball, you know. Sunday is always a sports day.
Yeah, watch the Met game, as they got swept by Braves, and they gave Bobby Cox a going away present, but we'll get into that momentarily.
Okay.
You know, we'll talk a little baseball with the Mets as they got swept by the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the Yankees as they continue to hold on to a slim lead to the from the Rays in the AL West. I mean the AL East division. You know, of course, talk a little gridiron, you know, with a little football. Giants losing. And Giants and the Manning versus Manning duel between Peyton and Eli. And we'll also talk about what's going on right now, the Jets game, as they're right now trailing 14-10. And, you know, we'll talk a little hoops. Maybe give a little thoughts on that NBA Jam game. And, you know, as usual, talk a little sports entertainment. You know, a little WWE and maybe even TNA, if anyone would like to. I haven't really been following it as much lately. And, you know, as always, the listeners, and feel free to call in if you, you know, would like to give your, would like your opinions to be heard. We'd definitely appreciate it. And I guess without further ado, I guess we'll talk a little bit of baseball as usual, as the Jets try to come back from this 14-10 deficit. But we'll start off as usual, leading off with baseball. And the Mets, they got swept by the Braves. They lost by the final score of 6-3. R.A. Dickey, he was a horrible. He was good, but unfortunately, in the seventh inning, he left two people on, and they got him out. Feliciano, they took him out of the game in the seventh. One on in the seventh, and Feliciano got the second out, and then they pull in Manny Acosta. And when I saw that game, I was like, man, this guy sucks. I was telling my father, he was, you know, watching the game with me. I'm like, this guy sucks, man. They, you know, they shouldn't take him out. And lo and behold, he went into a 3-0 count. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a Brian Jordan Grand Slam reunion kind of thing, tribute here. So he went 3-0 on Derek Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Next pitch, 3-0, throws him a fastball, fouls it off. 3-1, throws him another fastball, fouls it off. 3-2. Are you sensing a trend here?
Yeah.
Like, you guess what happened?
Grand slam.
You betcha. For the dozenth time this season, grand slam. Shades of Brian Jordan with the Braves in 2001 when he took Benitez and John Franco deep in that weekend, that last weekend of September.
Yeah.
And once that ball was going over the wall, if FCC was there, they would have pulled me off the air right now.
You were pissed off.
Oh, yeah. That was an understatement. I knew it was coming, but I still didn't, soften the blow of having a grand slam, a baker's dozen, 12 grand slams given up by the Mets pitching. And, of course, guess how many Mets have hit this year?
Zero.
You got it, a goose egg. Zero, zilch, nada. Whatever you want to call it. They haven't hit none.
Man.
And that was pretty much the play of the game, because Mets had an early 2-0 lead on David Wright home run, 2-run home run, his 24th, and knocked in his 94th RBI. And for David Wright, he knocked in his career high 655th RBI, which ties him with the great Mike Piazza for second all time. And of course, now he's only trailing Daryl Strawberry as the RBI leader. And congratulations to David Wright, but fortunately, that was pretty much all she wrote. And then they later tacked on a run late in the game. But, Billy Wagner, I'm pretty sure he saved all the games this series. And this is,
he had another save today? I know he had a save yesterday.
Yeah, I think he had a save on Friday, too. I think so. So, yeah, Wagner, he's just... And he's pretty much getting more saves with the Braves this weekend than he got his old, with the Mets. I'm playing.
Yeah, he's that way.
It seemed that way. But, you know, this is Wagner's last year. This is Bobby Cox's last year. So this was their last series at City Field. And Mets, an organization that I think is a little bit too classy, you know, at times, especially with their rivals. Of course, last year they gave it was last year. They celebrated Mariano's 500 career save against the Mets, and they gave him the mound where he got the 500 save. And you know, they congratulated him and stuff like that. And this time, before the game, they had Henry Blanco, a former Brave, present Bobby Cox with champagne from Tom Seaver's wine.
Really?
Wow. They gave him a pack, or, you know, I don't know how a bunch of wine. So that's their, you know, they gave him a little send off before the game, and Bobby Cox left the same way how he's always been against the Mets throughout his Brave tenure, especially the second time around with the Braves, since he returned in the late 80s, before, you know, all these division titles that he won.
Yeah.
And he might win one again, yeah, I mean, thanks to the Mets, who kept them in the pennant race. And Mets, after Saturday's loss, they were officially eliminated from winning the division. And I think barring one more Braves win or a Mets loss, they'll be officially eliminated from postseason contention. So, Mets, you know, pretty much, stink right now, and they're going to need a lot of changes. And, you know, this pretty much sounds like a broken record here, you know, because they're gonna need a new manager, they're gonna need a new GM, and they're gonna need to shake up this offense.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it last week, you know.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of changes need to be made to this organization.
And it looks like
there's talks that Joe Torre or Bobby Valentine might be manager next year.
Or Wally Backman.
Wally Backman, right. That's the guy you want the most.
Yeah, I want Bobby V or Bobby. I want Bobby V or Wally Backman. Those are the two guys I'd love to see. And then you could put Joe Torre as a third also.
Yeah.
Because Joe Torre, he's not the fiery manager that Mets supposedly are looking for, because they've always had these ever since Bobby Valentine left, they've always had these soft-spoken managers. Art Howe, I mean, you know, of course it was very quiet. Willie Randolph, I mean, he was a quiet guy, but you could see, you know, that this guy, he really wanted to win one for the Mets, and you could tell the guy was a passionate guy, even though he, you know, was a really quiet guy. You know, he came from the Yankee school of, Joe Torre of, not showing your emotions on the field and,
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell, even though the guy was a soft-spoken kind of guy, not really giving the media much billboard, blackboard material, about, criticizing the opposition. But you could tell that guy, he really wanted to win a championship.
Why did they fire Willie Randolph?
The team, they just didn't play for him. This was during the first, they had that first collapse in 07, and then they were thinking about firing him, and I was like, they shouldn't fire him. It wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then 08 came by, and
midway
into the season, the Mets were playing horrible, and they fired him. They replaced him with Jerry Manuel.
Yeah.
And then they had the second collapse again. I mean, So the players are pretty much who's at fault. I mean, Jerry Manuel, I mean, he's not, I mean, like Willie, you know, and our Howe, of course, you know, they're not, you know, in-game strategists, but then again, the game, the players have to perform.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know,
players are as much as responsible as the managers.
Yeah, they're even more, they're even more, you know, responsible. They're the guys who play.
Yeah.
In the whole equation, I mean, it should be players first, general manager second, since they're the one that, you know, put the guys on the team and, you know, think who, you know, select who they think, you know, is a winning type player and who can handle it in the city. And third
mm-hmm.
should be the manager, the guy who, you know, who gets all the recipe, you know, together and try to mix them all together and try to put a winning recipe, you know, on the field. So
yeah. Please make,
but,
make millions of dollars. I mean, they should be able to perform.
Yeah.
Not bitch and moan.
Yep.
And not beat up their father-in-law.
K-Rod, I mean, K-Rod, I mean, he's on that. He's on the he's in the doghouse, you know, because of what he did. They're not paying him the rest of this year because of the incident, and rightfully so. I mean, I always liked K-Rod, you know, prior to this incident, you know.
Did you hear the recent story about K-Rod?
I might have. Let me fill me in on it.
Well, he was prohibited from contacting his wife, right?
All right, I heard about that, right?
And he sent her
like 50 messages. 50
yeah.
text messages, which is a violation of the you know, the I'm trying to think of the words. It was a violation of the
restraining order.
Right. The restraining order that, you know, the court put in place. And even in one of the text messages, he was saying that he knows he could get in trouble for that, but, you know, she shouldn't listen to the parents, stuff
yeah.
like that. You know, we belong together. Sound like some 50s romance, Greece kind of, you know, like summertime
yeah.
love kind of, hey, our parents don't want us to be together, just run away, you know, some, you know, romantic movie kind of thing.
You know,
but,
he might have to go back to court. Who knows?
Yeah, but he's not going to face any jail time because of it.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that doesn't, you know, require any jail
yeah.
time, but still.
I mean, you know, he did violate it, but it's not like he went over to the house and
yeah.
started saying all that stuff, so. I mean, it was unethical and unprofessional and didn't have, you know, done that, I should say. But, you know.
He's suspended and not being paid. Well, not on a DL, not being paid.
Yeah, he's on the disqualified list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put on disqualified, because on the DL, you still get paid. Trust me, Oliver Perez know a thing or two about getting paid while being on the DL.
Oh, so he's on the disqualified list.
Yeah, he's on the disqualified list.
Not the disabled list.
Yeah. So Mets aren't going to pay him this year, and they're going to probably look to see if they're not going to pay him this year or void his contract, or maybe let him, because I don't see them making him come back. I mean, this guy embarrassed the organization. I mean, he's always, you know, picking fights. I mean, you know, with Brian Bruni, who's down in the minor, who's down, he signed a minor league deal after getting released by the Yankees and then traded to the Nationals, and Nationals cut him. And they signed him, but Bruni never pitched a game with the Mets. So, yeah, but I mean, you love it. You're closer to be passionate and to be, you know, fiery and not, you know, have that fire in their belly, you know, not scared of any, you know, challenges and stuff like that. But this guy, man, he, you know, this guy needs to better challenge his passion and aggression and onto the field and not on your father-in-law. I mean, dude, I mean,
no,
this guy,
man,
I mean, I mean,
out of line right there.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely going to ruin a Thanksgiving dinner with these guys. Probably still going to be on a restraining order. So,
you think the Mets will void his contract?
I think they're trying to, but, you know, the players' union, you know, they're going to fight it.
Yeah.
Like they're fighting this thing. You know, they're like lawyers, you know, they got to, even when the person's guilty, you know, they're going to try to defend them and try to win the case by any means necessary.
You got to protect their players, you know?
Yep. It's like sports, man. It's like, you know, the players' union is like, it's like the extreme of players having the ultimate power. And in NBA,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not NBA, NFL, you know, baseball, you know, during the Charles Comiskey, the Commissioner Landis era in the early 1900s, you know, the owners had, you know, ultimate power, and, you know, they pretty much exploited the players, and which
yeah.
later led to the, you know, Black Sox scandal in 1919, between the, you know, the White Sox and the Reds.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's two extremes, you know. You know, with the owners getting too much power, and then on this side, of, you know, with baseball nowadays, the players are getting a little bit too much power. And all these contracts are going ridiculous. Getting out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants just signed me to a multi-year $100 million contract, and I can't fulfill it.
Well, repeat that again?
The Giants just signed me to a multi-year $100 million contract, and I can't even play.
the Hicks, right?
The Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, how about the
contract to play wide receiver.
And the Devils in hockey, they had that Ilya Kovalchuk contract. They had like a 7-year, $102 million contract, and then NHL blocked it. And afterwards, the second proposal was like $100 million, and Ilya Kovalchuk even said if they block it, he's going to Russia or you know, some you know, other European place. You know, I think it was Russia, he said. And, of course, sure enough, you know, they agreed to the deal, you know, because, you know, Kovalchuk is one of the, you know, the star players of the NHL, so
yeah.
You don't want to lose him to, you know, out of the NHL, so
right.
Overseas, so, you know, rightfully so, they locked up, you know, they agreed to the deal, because, I mean, look at the Rick DiPietro contract. They gave him, like, what, 15-year contract or something like that?
Yeah,
for a goalie?
Like, you give these players a lot of money that they're not worth.
I know.
Please don't make them more than the president.
I know. Yeah, that's what's funny. It just kind of reminds me of what you making more money than the president. Yeah, this was even going back to Babe Ruth days.
Yeah.
Because they were asking Babe Ruth, why are you making more money than the president? I think it was, who was the president at that time? Maybe it was, was it Harding, I think, was the president at that time? It was around, like, you know, the late 1900s to the early 1930s.
It certainly wasn't Obama.
No, it wasn't Obama. So they were asking, why is he making more money than the president? And then he said, because he can hit home runs. You know. Yeah, he said something like that, to paraphrase
yeah.
What he said. But, you know, that's how it's getting out of hand. And, switching gears to the Yankees, I mean, Yankees are going to be in a tough spot themselves because Derek Jeter, I mean, he's clearly not the same guy that he was. He is getting up there. I mean, he's, 35, and, he can't last forever. And his teammate Mariano's 4 years old. He's pitching well, but, those guys are going to, they can't play literally forever.
I give Jeter, a 2 to 3 year contract.
I could see that happening.
2 to 3 years the max. 3 years the most. I mean, Jeter's
yeah,
still my boy.
But then again, if Jeter, try to squeeze some money out of them, it might go to 5. You never know.
Maybe.
But, You know, Jeter, he's going to get paid a lot of money. And unless if he has a bounce back year or next year, he's going to be grossly overpaid.
I'm
talking about what he's going to do, you know, next year and beyond. I'm not talking about, because I know there could be some Yankee fans saying, hey, man, you know, this guy won 5 titles. You know, he's the captain. You know, he's a perennial all-star. He earns his money, of course, you know, by baseball, you know, salary standards.
Right.
But there's going to be a come a time, you know, that, you know, the salary is going to be, you know, that he's going to, like most players around this age, you backload the contract and then they're going to get ridiculous money and they won't be able to perform.
Well, you know, he's a, you know, our terms are like a 2 or 3 year contract. But I don't think he's that type of guy that'll ask for, you know, crazy money.
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems out of his character, but then again, I mean, you know, it is a business.
He's captain, so I mean, he deserves whatever he gets.
Yeah, based on historic wise, what he's done for the organization.
It's not like it's a rookie. You know,
yeah,
who's just coming into the league. This guy's been around forever. The Yankees, and you know,
it's not like
he's been clutch. Yeah.
It's not like he's A-Rod, a guy who's a mercenary who just hopped onto the team like Clemens and, you know, just ride the championship train, you know, without really struggling and putting the team on the map.
Yeah.
Jeter is a guy who was there, you know, since 95, and he turned it around and, you know, turned the team back to its winning ways in 96, so.
Yeah.
You know, he's by that aspect and what he's meant to the game and the Yankees. You know, of course, all the players are getting overpaid, but by salary standards, you know, he does deserve what he gets. And Yankees can't and will not afford seeing this guy go to another team.
Hell no, man, we can't let this guy go to anywhere.
Yeah, I really think he's one of the few, you know, ball players who are actually loyal. For an organization.
He was born and bred as a New York Yankee.
Yeah.
And I can't see him going to any other team.
Yeah, I don't
even think the Red Sox.
Yep. Remember even Bernie Williams, they were, you know, there was, you know, when he left the Yankees, they were, you know, he did kind of say, you know, he kind of, you know, bluff like he was going to go to other teams, but you see the loyalty he has, you know, with the Yankees. He could have easily got a job, you know, in a losing organization, you know, and play, and you know, add to his career stats, but, you know, rightfully so, you know, he didn't play anymore. He basically retired. I don't think he ever officially retired, but you know, he's pretty much retired from the game as a Yankee.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen to Mariano and Jeter and Posada.
Yeah, Mariano, I think he looks like he could pitch forever.
Yeah, he sure does. Because every time he blows a save, if he blows one game, the Yankee fans are like, oh my gosh, is this the end? And then he saves the next game, and everything's right with the world again.
Well, today, you know, didn't have a good day today, unfortunately.
Did the Yankees lose? I mean, you sound like he blew their game.
Yeah, the Yankees lost today. We lost 6-2. Wait, what was the score again? I don't remember. It was, I think it was 4-3 that we lost. Because here's what happened. We were, let me try to remember here. It was 3-2. Yeah, we did lose 4-3. It was 3-2 going into the ninth inning. And Mariano came in to close the game. He gave up a home run to Luke Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Orioles.
Oh, no, right.
And I guess Luke Scott was looking for that fastball right away, and he belted that fastball.
The Tire won the game.
The game was 6 innings after that.
Mm-hmm.
Or got the last, you know, the final, the 3 outs after Luke Scott, you know, hit that home run.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees had their chances to blow the game open. They left like 12 men on base throughout the game. And Lance Berkman even had a chance to drive in some runs, like in the 11th inning, in the top of the 11, but he failed to do that. So Ty Wigginton, your former boy, who played on the Mets.
Right.
He had the RBI single, the winning
walk-off
run. Winning RBI to, it was a walk-off RBI single. But that helped the Orioles win the game 4-3. And so they win one game out of this three-game set. I mean, the Yankees still win the series, you know, two games to one, but we had a chance to sweep today, and we didn't.
And it was yesterday, Sabathia got his 20th career save. First time ever he got it.
20th career save?
20th career win, I mean. My fault.
Oh, 20th career win.
Yeah.
I mean 20th win of the season, you mean?
Yeah, 20th win of the season, my fault.
Yeah, 20th win of the season.
My mind is thinking about, Sabathia. My mouth is thinking about Mariano Rivera or something. I said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got his
that
has
been, yeah, that parties, man. He's a horse.
Yeah,
he's been great
good
all year.
He's been good.
And talking about great, you know, Pettit came back. Andy Pettit came back and pitched real good today. He hadn't pitched since July, so he came back and pitched really good.
He's back in October form.
Yeah, he had only allowed one run through six innings. So, I mean, that's the thing for this Yankee pitching staff. We need Pettit right now because guys like – we can't rely on guys like Vasquez and Burnett, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's your big game pitcher right there.
Yeah, man. He's part of that fabulous four, or core four, as some people call them.
Yep.
We need that guy to be on his A game.
Yep.
A stands for Andy.
Mm-hmm. You can't count on Burnett. That's
right. You know Burnett pitched good the other night. I mean, he's up and down, you know.
He's like a better version of Oliver Perez.
Yeah.
He has 82 million reasons why, Yankees need him to, come up big come October.
We need these guys to pitch good, you know. But, so the Rays lost today, so Yankees are still a game ahead of the Rays, and they're going to begin a four-game series at the Bronx starting on Monday.
It could be a big series.
Yep.
As usual. With the division on the line.
Yep.
Even though it's pretty much going to be they're both fighting for a division and wild card, but, both teams are looking to get that bragging rights, winning the division.
Yeah, we need to win the division badly.
Yeah, this is similar to what happened a couple of years ago when Red Sox and Yankees were battling to decide who was going to be first place.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 07, right? Yeah, this was 07. When Red Sox won it by one game and Yankees won the wild card.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first time you guys won the wild card?
First time we won the wild card?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
No, we won, been a wild card before.
Was it 95?
We were wild card in 95, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe it was 95. So
we wild card in 97, too. Probably in 97, could have been. I forgot.
I know you guys had a 13-year division winning streak in a row or something like that?
Yeah, that was starting in 98.
Hmm.
It would have been more than 13. It was from like 98 to 2006, I think.
Yeah.
So right now, what's going on in the Jet game? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. So what's going on in the Jet game right now?
The Jets are leading 21-14.
Oh.
First quarter just started. Kind of, yeah, last time I saw it, they were trailing 14-10. Yeah, I stepped aside, you know. And then I came back and Jets are now leading 14. Looks like Brady might have had an interception.
Yeah, he did. There was an interception.
Come on. He gets the first down. Jericho Kashi. Yeah, in the first half, Wes Welker, he got a he scored a touchdown because Eric Smith gave him, you know, he had a unnecessary roughness, hit him on the head intentionally, and that cost him a 15-yard penalty, which later led to that touchdown. And prior to that, Patriots had a chance to kick a field goal. They kicked it, but they got charged for a delay of game. And then when the kicker, Grabowski, it was with a G, he tried to kick it again. Plus, it was a 5-yard penalty. He missed the kick. And then later on, that's when our Patriots, on a later drive, they LaDainian Tomlinson just dropped that ball. That's our third and six. But back to the point. So then Jets, Sanchez, he went 7-for-7 on that drive, that scoring drive, and he threw the Braylon Edwards to tie the game.
Yeah, did you see that Did you see that catch that Moss made?
Oh yeah, to make it 14-0.
Yeah, that one-handed catch in end zone, man, that was.
Yeah.
Moss has had a lot of plays like that.
Oh man.
That was spectacular.
What a throw! They're gonna kick it away. They're gonna punt it. But I guess while they're, you know, they're taking a look like Poole's the one that scored that touchdown.
Yeah.
To make it 21-14. But I guess we'll switch to Giants in the meanwhile. Giants, you know, they lost a close game, 26-21 to the Colts. As older brother Peyton, MVP in the league, he beats his younger brother.
What are you talking about?
Peyton Manning.
He said the Giants lost 26-1 to Colts today?
No, not Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
The Giants play the Colts tonight on Saturday, Sunday night football.
Didn't they beat them?
No.
I thought it was Sunday beat them.
The Giants play the Colts tonight on Sunday night football, NBC.
I saw the replay, they beat them.
That was probably the first meeting they had.
Oh, that must have been
probably the first meeting they had, like, years ago.
Oh, that must have been what I saw then. My fault. That's a bad job, by me.
Like, what are you talking about? They play tonight on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Second meeting between the brothers. The first meeting, Peyton won. But,
yeah,
it was a good game.
So that's what I saw. I could have sworn that. Because I knew they had a first meeting, but that's when they were showing the stuff, I thought it was the second meeting, which was this week.
Oh.
My fault. that's my fault right there.
Yes, tonight.
That's a marquee game tonight.
Yeah. Manning versus Manning. So both brothers have won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Both, you know.
Both MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs.
Yep. And they both sign commercials, a lot of commercials.
Yep. Even together.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm a Giant fan, so hopefully Giants pull it out tonight.
Yep.
I'm thinking Giants to win 20-17. What about
I think Giants will pull it out.
I know a lot of people picking the Colts because, you know, and rightfully so because the Colts, they went to the Super Bowl last year.
I'll say 31-24.
Yeah, although I think it's I don't know if it's gonna be high scoring, but you never know because I mean it's gonna be in Colts Stadium, so.
Yep.
Peyton can just go crazy and start throwing bombs.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a shootout.
Giants have to play really good defense today.
Yep, they can't tame that guy. Trust me, you know.
Yeah.
That's what cost the Jets trip to the Super Bowl right there.
Yeah. I'm not gambling on the game or anything.
But, my bet on that one.
No problem.
So the second match is going to come up, like you said, that's going to be the Sunday night marquee game.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen yet.
Main game tonight.
Huh?
Marquee game.
So that's gonna be a huge game tonight. And
get your popcorn ready.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's gonna be a shootout between the Manning brothers. I don't know. I think Archie Manning, the father, he's gonna have his eyes closed because he's gonna get messed between these brothers.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll give you any fight or anything, you know.
Well, yeah, not like that. It's going to be a duel. But then again, there was a ESPN commercial, now that I think about it. They were, you know, kind of hitting each other, you know, when they were in, like, ESPN studios.
Oh, yeah,
One of them giving them wet willies and, you know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting matchup between those guys.
Do you think it'll be Night of the Champions tonight in WWE?
What was that?
Do you think it'll be better than the Night of the Champions pay-per-view event for WWE tonight?
Oh, yeah, you
tonight?
Mentioned that. I was just about to segue into that. Will it be interesting? This, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
Night of Champions looks like it's going to be a good event. You know, you got Undertaker and Kane. And this time, Kane is the powerful brother.
Oh yeah.
He even has Undertaker's powers, which I like that original idea about it. I think that's gonna be the match of the of this pay per view.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think the World Heavyweight title is actually gonna steal the spotlight from the World Heavyweight title. Except if one thing happens, if Randy Orton wins the title, and then Miz cashes in, and, you know, wins his first championship, then I think that could be the only way that the WWE title, you know, might, you know, have some attention and maybe possibly, you know, steal the attention from this duel between the Brothers of Destruction.
Although, you know, I know Undertaker's probably going to win tonight.
Yeah, most likely Undertaker's going to win, but the best thing for them to do is to have Undertaker lose to Kane and build on this rivalry. So they're most likely going to fight each other. I think the next pay-per-view is going to be Hell in the Cell, which is going to be you know, an homage to the debut of Undertaker, when Undertaker fought against Stone Cold in the Hell in the Cell, and then Kane made his, you know, epic debut. So yeah, I predict Undertaker's gonna win. But I think the wise thing, I'm predicting Undertaker to lose anyway, because it makes the rivalry much better, which is unfortunately what they did with the Cena-Batista rivalry at WrestleMania 25.
So you think Undertaker's gonna lose?
Yeah, I think Undertaker. I'm gonna pick Undertaker to lose, even though they want us to think he's gonna win, because it would make sense for the rivalry for Undertaker to remain the underdog and continue this rivalry going a little bit, and then Undertaker eventually beats Kane for the title.
Well, you know, I could see that happening. I could see Kane winning. And then a rematch, a Hell in a Cell.
Because if Undertaker beats Kane now, what's the point of the rivalry, really?
Right, yeah,
Kane is never going to... Unless the title goes back and forth, I don't... Once Undertaker wins the title back, I don't think Kane's going to take it away from him. Unless if it's going to be kind of, it's going to be comparable to that Rock-Mankind rivalry in 98.
Yeah.
The title kept going back and forth between those guys. But yeah, I'm picking Kane to win, to retain the title for at least this pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
And maybe Undertaker will win that Hell in the Cell.
Or he might even win next week when we go to that SmackDown tour at MSG.
Nah, they're not gonna have the title switch hands, you know, in a that rarely happens. I mean, can't say it wouldn't happen, but most likely that's not gonna happen. The only time I could think of that a title change hands in like a house show was that Diesel versus Bob Backlund match.
It's happened some other times also, you know.
Yeah, what other times? I mean, I know you've been following, you know, WWE and wrestling more than I have.
When Burrell first won his title against the first time he won the championship, that was like at a live event. That wasn't on TV.
Oh, really?
That was against Ric Flair. I mean, there's some other instances. I remember there was a team called Smoking Guns.
Right. With Billy Gunn and Bart Gunn, right?
Yeah, they won their tag team titles at a live event. So, I mean, it's happened at live events. I mean, nowadays, it's, you know, it's rare, but, I mean...
Yeah, especially
it's had to happen a lot.
For championship titles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, it's happened before, but it's been a while since the titles changed hand in a, you know, in a... In a non-television, televised event. And what about that six-pack match? Who do you think is going to win?
That's the dumbest match ever, six-pack match.
For real.
I don't really care who wins that damn match.
Yeah. I think Sheamus is going to find a way to win anyway. And then Miz is going to cash in.
Yeah. Miz is definitely going to win.
I think Miz will definitely cash in if a good guy wins. If Cena or Orton wins, then I think he'll definitely cash it in. If Sheamus wins, I don't see him. I think maybe he might cash in and lose. But I don't see. If Sheamus wins, I think they're going to make him retain until Sheamus.
You know how to sing the song? Sheamus, the song?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think he's gonna retain until you know, Triple H comes back.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sheamus is gonna retain it, and but then again, he might lose it to Randy Orton soon.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think this is what I think is gonna happen. Sheamus retains it, or Cena, or most likely Orton. Orton wins it, and then what's his name? Miz cashes in, and beats whoever wins, other than Sheamus. And what are the matches? The Diva and Women title unification match?
Oh, yeah. You know, the ladies match, the Diva match. You said the Divas match, right?
Yeah. Because they want you to think Melina's going to win. So I think they're gonna switch gears and maybe, you know, fight a title and maybe give each member of Lake Corps a title.
But then again, it has to unify. That title has to unify. Wait, now are the titles like Michelle Lacool's and Layla's title going to unify, or is it going to be Melina's title and their titles going to unify together?
Yeah, it's going to be both titles unified. So I'm guessing maybe Michelle's going to beat Melina by cheating, and then one of them is going to hold one title and the other one's going to hold another title instead of the typical Jericho fashion of holding two titles, you know, one person holding the title.
Oh. So it's not going to be Melina's title and their titles unified. It's going to be
Layla's
and Michelle's unified.
Well, no, it's going to be all of the above.
Oh, so okay. So the WWE's going to have one woman's title.
Yeah, they're going to have one woman champion, but I think what they might do is, I mean, this is just my guess. Maybe they're going to give, you know, one of the Lake Cool members, when they win the title, because Lake Cool is going to win the title. That's what I think. When Michelle won the title, maybe she'll give one of the titles, you know, either the woman or the Diva one to Layla, or she keeps open them to herself. You know what I mean?
Right. I think Melina's going to win all titles.
Yeah, I think that's what most likely is going to happen.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to take a guess, step out of the box, I'm going to say maybe Michelle might win. Because most likely they want you to think Melina is going to win. Because most likely Melina will win because she has a better wrestler than both of them anyway.
Because I definitely see a rift tonight between Lakewood.
Yep. Especially with what happened on SmackDown, how she put her name in all the papers, you know, when they pull out of the hat, when Kavall pull out the paper out of the hat. So Layla looked like she, you know, mad, and she might sabotage Michelle.
Yep.
But then again,
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, but then again, you know how WWE, they, you know, they forward the fans, making you think, you know, a group's going to break up, and then, you know, they pull a wall over, you know, the fans' eyes and say, oh, we did this all along to trick you guys, or something like that. And what about the Intercontinental title? So I think Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler.
I'd love to say Kingston. I'm going to say Ziggler.
Yeah, I'd love to say Kofi too, but I think Ziggler's going to hold on to it for a little while longer.
Yeah. They're trying to make him Mr. Perfect.
Yep.
And what about,
let me see, what
about,
the United States? It's Miz versus, Daniel Bryan.
So, I think Daniel Bryan's gonna win it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Daniel Bryan's going to win, and then that's going to force Miz to try to cash in and then win the title that way.
Yeah. Because they really, they look like they're trying to give Daniel Bryan a push, a real big push. Isn't there like a tag team title match or something?
Right, Hart Dynasty versus Drew McIntyre and Dashing Cody Rhodes.
I don't know what it is, but Hart Dynasty is lacking something.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not, like, I don't know. They're not exciting.
Yeah, they're not even defending the title that much. I mean, it's not
yeah.
definite, but.
Really see them on Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I mean, I'd love to see Natalya, but, you know, they just don't come out.
Yeah. I think maybe that rumor that they might turn heel might happen. Because there might be rumors that Cabal and Daniel Bryan might form a tag team. I don't know if it's true or not. And Jets are close to scoring a touchdown. They're a couple of yards away.
Yeah, the Jets. Look at the Jets. Being Patriots.
They're third and goal.
I guess sexually harassing that Mexican reporter really worked out for the Jets.
It didn't work out the day afterwards on Sunday because they got their butt beat by the Ravens.
Well, it'll work out this week. Hopefully
she
can stretch the jeans.
Sanchez is going back. He throws in the end zone touchdown.
14 points.
Yep.
14-point lead.
27-14, 5:09, rather 6:09 left into the in the fourth. Sanchez threw for three touchdowns, career high.
That's his career high, three pass,
yep.
three touchdown passes.
Still goal is good. 20-14 Jets.
Yeah, 6 minutes left, right?
6:09.
6:09.
And look at the perfect timing. The Jets should hold on to this game and improve 1-1 for the season. A lot of football left in the game, but hopefully with Jets defense, they should hold on to this game.
Yep.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to another edition of Sports for the Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. See you guys next week. Peace.
See ya.